We are Team Jesus. We are here to be equipped this morning because we have a mission out in the world, a very important mission, to be salt and light, be the body of Christ, to bring the gospel to those who are lost. That is what we are called to do. It's a holy calling. It's an honorable calling. It's an eternal calling. Because what we do has eternal effects. Now, I know we've been covering a lot of heavy stuff through Peter, especially this last chapter. I think we've been in this last chapter, chapter 3, now going on, 15 weeks? Covering all those things about the end days, how we know we're near the end. And now we're looking ahead and we're seeing judgment coming in this chapter. It's been covering a lot of heavy things. But Peter slips in a word in the middle of this chapter. It's a word I covered last week, but this week I came in and sat down to do my sermon this week, and God said, go back to that word. Go back and speak this word. So today we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, with a sermon entitled, The Beloved Who Overcome. I said there was one word you could use to describe yourselves. And there are a lot of words, you named a bunch. But this one right here, this word, encompasses so much. And it's easy to overlook in Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved. And I covered this verse when we talked about it last week, but God said, come back to that word. Because we're living in difficult times, hard times. We need to know something about this word. Beloved. Translated, it means dearly loved by God. Not just loved by God. Dearly loved by God. That's not always easy for every person to accept. Because there's a lot of people who beat themselves up and see all the bad about themselves. And there's a lot of people out there who've never really been loved, and so they don't really understand it. This term, beloved, is a term that God used to describe Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Dearly loved by God. Now that's easy for us to understand. We know the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. That relationship, because Jesus said, me and the Father are one. There was complete trust, complete obedience. Jesus said, I always do the will of my Father. Jesus said at his most darkest moment in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. On the cross, Jesus yelled out to the Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Jesus said, the Father loves me, and I love the Father. There was a relationship like no other between the Father and the Son. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son. You see, God offers this same love and oneness, this relationship, to all those who would come to him. Because that's why we were created, to be in relationship with God, to know God. Jesus said it himself. Eternal life is to know God. To know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. God offers the same love, the same relationship, the same status of beloved to all who will come, to those who overcome this world and this life. We've been studying the book of Revelation. There's seven churches in the book of Revelation, and Jesus writes a letter to each seven churches. And I want to look at something he said in each letter. So let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Sounds pretty good. How many of you guys want to go eat from that tree in the middle of the paradise of God? He overcomes. Revelation 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. We may physically die, but we're not going to spiritually die. Revelation 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a name, new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. You see, this relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, is so personal. That's what God wants. He doesn't want a religious relationship with you where you're just doing these checklists, these good deeds. No, this is a relationship with God to know Him. Revelation 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write on him my new name. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, those were the seven letters to the seven churches. But he mentions overcoming one more time. Revelation chapter 21. At the very end of the book, he says this, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This word overcome. Next slide, Levi. It's the Greek word nikao. Means to subdue, to conquer, overcome, prevail, get the victory. That definition, the word itself, overcome, what does it make you envision when you hear you must overcome? You must subdue. You must conquer. You must prevail. You must get the victory. What is it? What kind of feeling does it stir up? Emotion. Huh? Okay, war, warrior. What? Okay, you're gonna be getting knocked down, you think? You down? You got to get up? Does it envision an easy path? Overcome that easy path right there through the rose garden. Or is it a difficult path? Tough. Maybe filled with suffering and hardship. That's what the word overcome. You don't overcome easy things because they're easy. You overcome difficult things. You see, she who overcomes is granted all those amazing things. You see, discipleship, and that's what we're called to. No one was ever called to be a Christian by Jesus Christ. No one. They were called to be disciples. Each one was. And discipleship is not easy. It's actually the hardest thing you'll ever do. If you want to truly follow Jesus Christ as a disciple, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do in this life. There's nothing harder. We see today, and always, but today as well, people have always wanted an easy belief. Give me an easy belief, easy Christianity, comfortable Christianity, where my life is not, upset. My plans are not upset. It's easy. And today, a lot of people are following those paths. We're never called to an easy path. We're told to overcome. It's implied. It's understood. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a struggle. But anything good, anything worthwhile always is. And there's only certain ways that God can transform us. And you don't get transformed when life is easy. Even Jesus had to suffer to be perfected. Well, wait a minute, Jesus was perfect. Yes. But wait till the end. He had to endure the suffering. We are called to overcome, to be disciples who strive to become the image of Jesus Christ. That's what we're predestined for. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit, the transformation of the believer from the inside out. A lot of people just want the outside to look good. They're not too worried about the inside, but not God. So what are we to overcome as disciples of Jesus Christ? Well, let me start. I looked at a list and I said, okay, God, what are we supposed to overcome? And pride, the root of all sin and disobedience to God. Oh, I'm not a prideful person. Have you sinned? Yes, and you're prideful. Because pride is breaking God's laws. So when you break His law, you're saying, hey, God, I don't care what you say. I'm breaking your law. I'm going to do what I want. That's pride. It's the root of all sin. Pride. I'm good enough. Oh, we have to overcome that. We're not good enough. As in the song, we're all broken people. Wait a minute, I've been saved. Yeah, but you're still broken. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ in you right now, what good would you be? The only thing good in us is Jesus Christ. And we need Him in us because we're broken people. We may be learning, we may be growing in Christ, and we may be going stronger in Christ, but it's all about Christ, not about us. Without Christ, we're nothing. Overcome pride in your life. How desperately we need Him. Overcome our sinful nature. Yes, all our sins are forgiven, but guess what? We still can sin, can't we? How many of you guys sinned this morning? Nobody's going to admit to it? A couple? All the kids. No, that's not a kid. That's Melissa back there. But I say kids, yeah. You know when we and Wendy used to fight the most? Coming to church. We used to get in arguments coming to church all the time. So we're coming two cars. We fixed it. Our sinful nature is ugly, and it's still in us. That's what'll be so glorious when we get changed in a twinkling of an eye. God removes that sinful nature, and we'll never think bad again. But we have to overcome that sinful nature. We can walk in the power of the Spirit, not the flesh. We have the Holy Spirit. We can learn to walk in the Spirit. But again, that's sanctification. Only through sanctification, as a disciple, can we overcome the sinful nature. Overcome temptation, taking every thought captive to Christ. Overcoming self. Oh, we're always selfish. We have to check ourselves. Esteeming others better than yourself. I care more about your feelings than my own. Your needs over my needs. Overcoming spiritual fatigue. When I am weak, then I am strong because I'm depending on God's strength, not my own. Overcoming persecution. All those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in this life. Accept this. Stop trying to run away from it. Hide from it. Oh, the mocking and the hatred of the world. Jesus said, hey, they hated me, they'll hate you. You have to overcome it. But not with hate, but with love and with truth. Overcome the cares of this life. It's hard. But Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Seek me and my righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. Overcome the fears, the doubts. To overcome in Christ is to walk this life as Jesus walked this life. Is that possible? Yeah. We can. That's what sanctification is all about. That's what a true disciple seeks. Is to be obedient to the Word of God, to be obedient to their Lord as a bondservant, better yet, a slave, as Jacqueline described herself. A slave to God. To be His witness, to be salt and light, to live in such a way that the unbelieving world sees you and goes, wow, that's a real believer right there. They may not agree with you, but they know you're a real believer. How do we truly overcome all this stuff? How do we succeed in this, what God has called us to do, is discipleship and sanctification? It's first to understand this is your greatest work. And this is your first work. You see, religion teaches you this. Be prideful about yourself. Start seeing yourself as a pretty good person, better than all those other people. That's why I'm up here and you're down there. I'm better. You don't agree? Good. Yeah, because that means Gordon's better than all of us, and then Eva and Ariel are higher than all of us. You see, religion teaches us to look at ourselves pretty good. I clean up pretty good. And religion teaches us to do good little Christian deeds, good deeds on the outside. So we can feel good about ourselves and we can look good to others. But see, those are deeds we come up with. God's Word has told us He already has good deeds for us to do that He preordained before we were even alive. See, there's only one way to figure out His good works that He really wants you to do. Oh, you can substitute your good works. He's got a list already made up for you. And the only way you're going to figure those out is through sanctification and discipleship. But see, this is your greatest work. And the first work is to surrender to that sanctification. Allowing the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. To renew the mind, restore the soul. To equip you, to build you, to develop you into a tool He can use. But see, religion teaches you to come to church and do church traditions and do good little deeds so you look good. That's easy. That's comfortable. It's what we know. Sanctification takes us out of the comfort zone. Sanctification is what we are going to have to strive and suffer to do because it's not an easy path. It's what allows us to overcome those things, because we're learning to live in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and not our own. We're learning to do the Father's will instead of our own. We're looking to see others better than ourselves. See, we're learning to walk and think like Jesus Christ. But to do that, it's hard. Tough. It's not a walk in the park. But folks, this is what we're called to do. We're called to overcome. It's implied it's going to be a tough path to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not a tough path to be a Christian. It's not a tough path to just be a church member. But to be a true disciple, because we're going to stand before the one who gave all for us, and we're going to give an account. Did our life really matter about Him? See, the only way that's going to be true is if you take the path of discipleship and sanctification, because it's all a work of God through you. And then you'll know when you stand before Him. You won't be ashamed before Him at His coming, as the Bible warns us. Don't look for an easy path. Don't look for a comfortable path. Don't get comfortable in those pews thinking you're a pretty good Christian. God calls us to overcome. That means we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to struggle. And we're going to have to suffer to fulfill His will. But we can do it together. We can be a church. That's what the church is designed to do. But we're going to have to start taking our faith a lot more serious. That's what this word overcome, that's what God is telling us to be, is an overcomer. So, here's what we must understand. If we want to fulfill our Lord's will, overcoming means you're going to have to be a disciple and you're going to have to embrace sanctification. What keeps us going? What keeps us focused? To endure, to persevere in the faith. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. You're dearly loved by God. You are dearly loved by God. Now, God loves everyone. God loves the world. He gave His only begotten Son. God loves everyone. But God does not dearly love everyone. Know why? Because He can only dearly love people if they surrender and open their lives to Him. Because He's not going to force His way into your life. Those who will humble themselves, repent of their sins, and open up to God, God can love as He desires to love them, as His children. John right there, who's trying to go to sleep on me because he's got a little baby, and he's only getting like 2 hours of sleep or not a night. I don't care, John. He's sitting there going, I see his head. But John just became a father. And I told him before, I said, it'll only take the first few seconds of holding that baby, and you're going to be changed forever. Have you been changed, John? You love that little baby? And John's not even a perfect father. It took him 45 minutes to change a diaper. But God is our perfect Father. He loves us. John would lay his life down, just like most, I think all fathers would for their children. And we're imperfect fathers. This is your Heavenly Father who dearly loves you. So you must accept that. You are the beloved. You are loved by God dearly. And then this word has so much meaning. I want to show you what this love of God brings. Well, because He wants, we talked about it last week, God is, His will is to save everybody. He doesn't want to judge anybody. And He wants to pour His love. He's so good. He wants to pour His love into people. And when one sinner finally repents and he's able, this is what he does for his beloved. This is what he does. Let me show you. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You are blessed. Blessed by God with all, every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1, 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You are chosen. Maybe you never got chosen for a team. Maybe you weren't the recipient of a lot of love. People didn't choose to love you for some reason. Maybe you just never been the one people chose. But God chose you. He knows everything about you and He chose you. He wants you. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You are predestined. God has a plan for you. He has a will and a plan. His thoughts to you are more than the hairs on your head. Oh, He loves you. And He thinks about you. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved in Christ Himself. You are accepted. You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to try to earn His favor. You don't have to try to fit in with the cool group. You're accepted. And now He calls you to a path that will change you. But in the way He created you, who you are, you're accepted. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. We are worthless without Christ. There is nothing good in us. Except that's part of being humble. There is nothing good in us. We are sinful people at the very nature of who we are. And without Christ coming into your life, there'd be nothing good in us. There's no one righteous. No, not one. There's none good. But Christ brings goodness into us. And what was worthless, what was worth nothing, as when we were sinners and separated from God, now we have value. God has given us value. He's given us worth. He has redeemed what was unredeemable. And He's forgiven you. I don't care how much you've done, what roads you've traveled, what you've seen, what you've said. It's all forgiven. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. God has sealed you with His Spirit. You're His forever. That seal cannot be broken. There's nothing in this creation that can break the seal of God but God Himself. And God never says He'll break that seal, ever. So nothing in this world, nothing in the universe will separate you from the love of God. You're sealed. Verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? You have an inheritance. You are co-heirs with Christ. Let that sink in. You have an inheritance that is just mind-blowing. I'll be talking about that inheritance in the weeks to come as we finish this chapter. The richest people in the world, they have nothing compared to you. You have everything. This inheritance, mind-blowing. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Excuse me. You are alive. What does that mean? I was alive before I came to Christ. No, you weren't. You were a dead man or a dead woman walking. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Yes, you were alive, but you were dead. And if you didn't come off that path and come to Jesus Christ, you'd walk right into judgment and into the second death. You would never be alive. But now He's made you alive. And life for us is eternal. Because that's what He's given us. Eternal life. Now you are alive. You get to experience truly what God designed you to be. To experience Him. That's life. That's being alive. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's those good works He has. But the only way to find out is to let Him create in you. You're His masterpiece. You're the clay. He's the potter. He wants to work in you. He wants to create you into something unique for His purpose, for His plan. Don't come up with your own religious ways. Don't take the clay from the potter. Don't walk a path of your own good works because it's comfortable and it makes you feel good and look good. Stick with what God is doing. Overcome and let Him, through hard times, through suffering, through persecution if it's necessary, to mold you and shape you into what He works you to be so you can fulfill His plan and the works that He has for you. Don't go with some cheap counterfeit. You're this new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Let God create in you. Don't replace that with religion. Ephesians 2:14, for He Himself is our peace. Oh, the world looks for peace. But in Christ we have peace. Peace with our Father. Peace with one another. We have peace. Ephesians 2:19, Now therefore, you who are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You have a new citizenship. And you know, I'm a patriot, but I know from Scripture, my country, our country, all countries of the world will eventually stand against God, against the nation of Israel. And it's sad to see our country, the red, white, and blue going down. But I can find comfort because I have a citizenship in heaven. That's who I really am. If I was just a citizen of America, yeah, I'd be depressing. But I'm not. I'm a citizen of heaven. With all the privileges and benefits that go with being a citizen. You think it's great being an American citizen? Try being a heavenly citizen. The city we're going to walk in? Oof. So here you go, beloved. Dear loved ones by God. Here's what that word means. He blessed. He's chosen. He's accepted you. He's predestined you. He redeemed you, forgiven you, sealed you. He's given you an inheritance. He's made you alive. You're a new creation. You have peace. You're a citizen of heaven. And know what? I could have kept going. Beloved. What's a good word to describe you? You had all good words. But this one here, beloved, dearly loved by God, that's who I am. And this is what keeps me going. This is what helps me to overcome. I'm going to finish up right now. 1 John 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Again, our faith is given to us by God. Who is he who overcomes the world? Who is she who overcomes the world? But he, she, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And that belief is not just up here, it's here. And that changes who you are. Overcoming is not easy. It's a struggle, it's a war, it's a fight. That's why we've been given the armor of God. We've been told to endure suffering as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. To make the good fight of faith. Anything worthwhile. Anything that has value. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's what makes it so worthwhile. And Jesus suffered. He had to take this path. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 2. For it was fitting for him, God the Father, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, Jesus Christ, perfect through suffering. He was perfect, but the suffering proved he was perfect because he endured it, and he endured it the right way, the perfect way. He didn't revile his attackers. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to do his own will. He did the will of the Father. The captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, that should be us, as disciples were embracing sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Beloved. Or I can say overcomer. Next slide, Levi. That is who we are. Excuse me. Bring him in. Yeah, bring him. All right. That's who you are, beloved. If you've been born again by God. Because of all those things, you can overcome. You can do it through the power of God. You're holding on to His promises. And we do it together as a church. The one word that best describes us is beloved. Beloved. You are in Christ. This is who you are. God has said it. So believe it. Accept it. And don't let anyone take it from you. So no matter what happens in this life, no matter how hard it may get out here in the world, or how bad it may get, we are beloved by God. And because we are beloved by God, He will help us overcome. We will be the overcomers. Because we are His children. And He dearly loves us. Come on, Wendy, come join us. If you guys agree with me, say amen. Amen. We're going to sing one last song. And the children are going to join us. Because they love this song. Wendy told me they love this song. So come on up. Team, come on up. We are the beloved. We are called to overcome. And we can. As children of God. Because that's who we are. So why don't you guys go ahead and stand up? Let's sing this song with our kids.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome?
And there was another one. We have a house somewhere up there. Not just citizens, we got a mansion up there, right? So there's another blessing of God. Thank you guys. You guys sounded awesome. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that we are beloved. Oh, we praise you and thank you. To be dearly loved by our Heavenly Father, there's nothing better. Lord, I ask that everyone in here will understand this. Lord, especially in time that these young ones up here on the stage will understand how much their Heavenly Father loves them. But Lord, all of us here in this congregation, if there's someone in here, Lord, who is not right with you, who has not been born again, who is not yet part of the beloved, I ask you to reveal it to them. Have them come talk to me. Or just, Lord, have them finally let go of the pride, humble themselves before you, and come before you in repentance of their sins and their desperate need of a Savior, because there's nothing good in us and we need you. We need you, Lord. We need to be born again. So again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We praise you. And we will strive to love you as you deserve. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, stand up, guys. Now, what we do when we come out of here, we're Team Jesus. So I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. Break. We hit our segment and we break out of here because we play for Jesus. And we're going to go out in the world today and this week and we're going to play for Jesus. That means going to school and all the other places. You got to go and show Jesus Christ. Cool? All right. Cool? Cool. All right. Let's break out of here on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Break! Let's go.